Jesus, thank you for this day. Please anoint my words and deny his words so that they hear you and not us, because with us it would mean nothing. So let them hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 23:4, where we're going to start today. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the scriptures, there are several references to shadows. In fact, I think there's like 71 different ones that I could find. I believe that every time it's mentioned shadows in the scriptures, it either has a protection or it proves that you're getting closer to God. And today we're going to look at that and show it. My title today is A Shadow of a Dog Never Bit Nobody. It's only a shadow. I believe God uses shadows for three reasons. One, protection from the heat or weather. Two, to protect us from our enemies. And three, drawing you closer to him. And as we go through, we'll try to prove that. Genesis 19, 6 through 8 is where we're going to. Now he's going to read.
And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof.
Now as we read these, go through and look at them and say, is this for protection from enemies, from drawing me closer to him, or is this for protection from the heat or the elements or whatever? That one, we believe, is for protection from the enemies. I have a lot of verses, so I don't know if you want to just write them down or you can get a copy or later or whatever. But then we're going to go to Job 7, verse 2.
Job 7, verse 2. As a servant earnestly desires the shadow, and as an hireling looks for the reward of his work.
Well, when I did this originally, we weren't in house churches yet.
So it's kind of interactive.
We
got to tell us what you think it is.
Interactive sermon. So I wanted to hear feedback. You know, that's what this one's about. So in that one, what do you think? What do you think the shadow was? Protection from enemies, heat.
What'd you say? Yeah. Searching for God. Cool.
What'd you say?
Yeah.
Drawing closer to God.
Yeah. That's cool. I think it could be both, you know, protection, a servant looking for protection, shadow, like of his master protecting him or of taking a rest from his work, but also like Patty said, drawing closer to God, yeah, under the shadow of his wing. That's cool.
Now we're going to go to Psalms 17, verses 7 through 9.
Psalm 17, 7 through 9. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand, them which put their trust in thee, from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about.
That one's an obvious one, but not all that obvious.
That's really awesome, though, that God does put us under the shadow of his wings like a mother hen does. Just cuddles her chicks right up against her to protect them from anything. She'd give her life, just like God was willing to give his life for us. It's that same kind of love. That's pretty awesome.
Psalms 36, 6 through 12. Psalms 36, 6 through 12.
Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Protection.
Well, this one here is from protection, but it's not protection from the weather. This is protection from our enemies.
Right. But also what she said.
Well, and also what she said, but it's not. Yeah. Some of these are for protection from heat, some are protection from enemies. So.
Should I have the mic out there so we can hear?
Well. Okay, we're going to go to Psalms 57, verse 1.
I just want to make a comment on that, where it says, like, in your light we have light. It's talking about that. You know that if you're in a room that's complete darkness, there's no shadows, because you are in, there has to be light to actually cast a shadow. So as you know, as we get closer to God, it actually increases the shadows in our life, because it exposes the darknesses, because there's light. You wanted me to preach?
You read 57?
So we're at Psalm 57, verse 1. I'll just read my verses. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpast. Protection from our enemies, yeah.
No, I'm just going through these, and then I want to hear feedback, and then we'll go through a little bit. Psalms 63, verse 7 through 10.
Psalm 63, 7 through 10. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. Yeah, the double one. The double. Yeah.
See where I'm. See why the shadow. I love talking about this. I know it's not obvious, but I do. I love talking about how the shadows are protection, and we'll get to that sooner. We're done with all these verses. We'll get some more of that. Psalms 91, 1 through 7.
Well, usually when people talk about shadows, there's usually fear involved, or
what's lurking in the shadow?
Right, and it's normally a negative connotation or expectation that people have. But I love the verse that says, what Satan intended for evil, God turned for good. So it's kind of like when we see the shadows, like the devil he's trying to impart fear and worry and all these things. He's trying to like surround us with his evil and his fear. But then God is like, it's only a shadow. And it's as you step into his light, you know? So it's really awesome the way he takes the things that the devil intends to hinder us and stop our life and bring all of to just knock us down, that God's like, let me show you how we can flip that over and see the other side of that coin. And you know, it's not a negative, it's a positive. That's pretty sweet.
Can I get the next one? Isaiah.
Nope, Psalm
91.
Psalm 91, okay. 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh or near you. Kind of shadows. All three. Yeah. That's cool.
I love that. I'm glad you're reading it. I'd never make it through.
It's one of my favorite chapters. Anytime we're feeling alone or down, discouraged, go read that. Because how could you be depressed after reading that and seeing what God, how he is for us and always trying to protect us and comfort us and bring us closer. How could you stay in a down frame of mind after reading that? It's just going to lift your spirits up. That's such an encouraging chapter to read.
Isaiah 4, verse 6.
Isaiah 4:6. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from the storm and from rain.
Another easy one. Obvious one, but yeah. I can't make them all hard.
But I don't think it's just from the physical storm and heat. This was God talking to His people. This is what He's saying to His people, to Zion, to Israel, to His children, that He's going to set up a place, a tabernacle, to be a refuge. From the physical, from the storms, from the rain, but also from the spiritual attacks, from the emotional attacks and the storms that rage against our life. It's not just physical elements. It's also the spiritual and emotional. He wants to protect us in all areas, not just one aspect. But He encompasses everything that life brings. There's not one area where He's like, that part's unimportant to me, or that's not worth my time. Even the smallest thing is important to God, and He wants to protect us and comfort us and be with us.
Isaiah 25:5.
Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud, and the branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Kind of shadow you guys see there. Protection, yeah, definitely.
Isaiah 49:2.
Isaiah 49:2. And He hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of His hand hath He hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver hath He hid me. I love that verse. That is awesome. You think about hiding in the shadow of His hand. How big is His hand? That He can hide us in His hand. Shadow. He holds the world in the palm of His hands, right? So when we like start saying, well, this problem's just too big for God. I don't think that God can. He holds the entire world, all of creation in His hands. He hides us in the shadow of His hand. Nothing is too big for Him. Nothing is impossible.
Jonah 4:6.
Jonah 4:6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Protection. Yeah. That is a sign of God's mercy and loving kindness, because Jonah, even though he finally had obeyed God, he was angry about it. He was angry that the people that he just preached repentance to actually repented. They had the nerve to turn their life to God when he warned them. And he was mad because he really didn't want them to. He was hoping that they would ignore his warning and that God would destroy them, because the Ninevites had destroyed his family. They had killed his family, so he hated them. And God sent him there. And then he was mad. And even while he's there, so angry that the people were repenting and giving their lives to God, and he was angry at God for being merciful to those people. God was merciful to Jonah because it was hot, and he grew a plant quickly to give him shadow from the elements and protection. That is God's goodness. Even when we are making really junky decisions and we're like mad about how good God's being to somebody else, or we're, you know, mad about how we don't think God's being good to us, if we would just stop and for just a minute go, how is God, what is he doing that is for me right now? Our whole perspective would change, because even in the midst, like Pastor Glenn read this morning in Romans 5:8, that while we were sinners is when God demonstrated his love. He didn't wait till we like made the right choices and said the right words and cleaned up. It was in the midst of all of the ugliness that he was kind and merciful. And the same thing with Jonah. You know, I think that the story of Jonah is in here so that we see that it's not like God expects us to be perfect. You know, and be, in order to be a voice for God, we have to be this perfect example. That's not what God wants from us. He wants us to be real, but he's showing us that even in the midst of our flesh responses, that he is merciful and kind and loving. And it is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance.
This is a personal one for me, because I've been called Jonah for so long now that everything to do with Jonah makes me think of something. But anyways, this one, just when you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing or whatever, God's still there for you. He's there to protect you, cover you with his shadow. That one gets me. I can't help it. Proves that he loves us no matter what.
He loves us because he's good, not because we're good.
Right. Yeah,
not right. Because we've done something to earn it, or, you know,
quite
we've...
the opposite. I'd right. do everything not to earn it, seems like, you know.
And he still loves us because he's good, because he's faithful, because he's God. And we are not, right? Dad's here even when he's not here.
Okay, now we're going to go to Mark chapter 4, 30 through 32.
Mark 4:30 through 32. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." That's a whole other sermon in itself, the
right.
Mustard seed.
But this one still, it shows protection from the elements.
Yep.
And enemies, because not just for us necessarily, but for the animals and everything. Birds, not just looking out for us.
Yeah. Even protection for the animals. Right. That's how good our God is.
Right.
Yeah.
Job, we're going back to Job 3:5.
Job 3:5. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it.
What is
This is Job talking about in the midst of all of his sickness and his pain and losing everything, talking about regretting the day he was born because he was in so much pain. It was like, it'd be better if I wasn't even born. But he... Right. He's saying it would be better had I not been born. And he's talking about that there could be a shadow of death even over that day that he was born because of this. But if there was a shadow, then the light of God was there, actually ordaining his birth and calling him in. So even that, in what might have seemed like a wrongful birth, or to him thinking maybe it would have been better if I never lived, he is a testimony for generations of how we can like praise God, love God, thank God, even in the worst times. You know, if anybody had a reason to get depressed, it was Job. He lost all his kids in one day, all of his income, his possessions, his wife turned against him, his friends turned against him, and he was sick to the point of just about being dead. And yet, he still continued to praise God, but in his moment of just grief, it was like questioning, why was I born? I think it would have been better, you know? And I think part of that is because he didn't want to dishonor God in his pain and in his grieving and in all of that. He didn't want to bring dishonor to God. And so he was saying it would have been better. But in the context that we're talking about shadow, if there's a shadow, there has to be light. I think that is even God saying, I was there in your birth, even though there's a shadow over your life right now. So that's what I think.
Job 10:21-22.
Job 10:21-22. Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness.
Before we comment on that, we're going to go to the next one.
Go ahead.
Job 34, 21 and 22.
Job 34, 21 and 22. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves.
Why are there no shadows?
No shadow where they can hide themselves.
Right. There's no shadows because God's light reaches everywhere. And where his light is, there's not going to be any shadows.
That can hide.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. That's definitely.
Right.
Protection. Keeping us safe.
Right. That's his protection on us. That there's nothing that can hide, nothing that he can't reach or nothing that he can't redeem, because his light reaches even into the darkest places.
Job 40, 21 through 22.
Job had a lot of shadows in his life, but then he had a lot of God in his life too. A lot of light. Job 40. 21 and 22. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. It's protection. God's protection, yeah. And it just sounds peaceful. It's like a restoring of the peace and the love and the comfort. Just resting under a willow tree sounds so peaceful.
No danger. Psalm 23, verse 4. Oh, I already read that.
I already read that one. Okay,
Psalms 107, 14.
Psalms 107:14. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder, or broke them apart.
That's all.
It's awesome. He brought them out of that shadow of death and set them free. He broke them free from that bondage that they felt in under the shadow of death. God brought them out of that. He brings us out of that. Over and over, he brings us out of the shadow of death that sin brings eternally, but he brings us out of the shadow of death that circumstances bring into our life too. Even when we belong to him, we come under those shadows, and he brings us out and brings freedom and restoration.
Psalms 144, verse 4.
Psalms 144, 4. Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away.
That one, I think, is talking about drawing closer to God.
Because this life is like nothing. In the scheme of eternity, this life is like nothing. It's just a passing shadow. But as we get closer to God and those shadows, you know, we get, there's like this point where there's more shadows, and then you get even closer, and there's like the shadows can't follow you there into eternity. So in the scheme of eternity, this life is kind of like a shadow that we have to kind of walk through to get into the eternity. We've got to keep our perspective on what we're really living for.
Well, I got a couple more. Bear with us. Isaiah 9, verse 2.
Isaiah 9:2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Definitely. Yeah, definitely drawing closer.
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah.
Matthew 4:16.
Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. God showing love, yeah, definitely. What'd you say? Yeah, definitely bringing him closer to God, his light coming right into that shadow of death. I think that's awesome. To them which sat in the region and shadow of death, they're like right in the middle of that worst place, horrible place. It says light is sprung up. It's like Jesus just shines right into that place of the darkest, you know, you think of the hardest things we go through, the darkest places we get into, and Jesus, and then think about him being right there with his light, and it's like just springing up. That makes you think of new life and flowers, and, you know, it's like right in the middle of that, he's right there with life and joy and comfort and peace. We don't have to live in that shadow of death. We don't have to stay in that place because he's right there to shine his light and bring us out of it.
God either uses shadows for protection from the heat and weather, or he protects us from our enemies, or it's to draw us closer to him. Everybody fears the valley of the shadow of death. I say don't fear it, rejoice in it. It's just a shadow. It can't really hurt you. If you have a lot of shadows in your life, you should rejoice and praise God because it proves that you're getting closer to God. The light of the world is God. So the closer you get to him, the more shadows you're going to get. But the closer you get, the shorter you're going to get and less of them. Mm. And Satan is trying to bring darkness into your life, hence the shadows. Remember, the closer you get to the light, the less shadows you'll have.
There we go.
Okay.
We're going to go back to Psalm 23. We're going to read that whole chapter. It's only six verses. Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
It doesn't say you're going to stay there. says walk through.
Keep going. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's right there with his light. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If we let him, he will comfort us right in the middle of that. He doesn't say, I'll show you the way to get around that shadow, the valley. I'll show you a shortcut. And he doesn't say, hey, when you get to the other side, I'll be there. He says, you got to go through it. Life has shadow of death. There are going to be valleys. But here's my promise. I will be right next to you with my rod and my staff. If you start to get off the bright path, I'll pull you back with that hook. If someone starts to attack you in that shadow, I'll whoop it with my hook. But I'm right there. You're not by yourself. You don't have to go through it alone. But don't stop. Don't decide to lay down in the middle of that valley and mope and roll and live there. Walk through it with him. That's what he's saying. Walk through it. We have to go through it, but we don't have to put up a tent and stay there for a long time. He says, walk through it. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is our goal. That is our focus. That at the end of that, we come through that valley, and he's got this, like, celebration feast. The enemies are like, man, they didn't stop. We couldn't get them.
And we know that's here because we don't have any enemies in heaven. So it has to be here.
Exactly. But they're like mad, and they're thinking, we'll get them. And God's like, don't worry. Sit down. Have a feast. Let me celebrate. Let me anoint you. Because when we go through something really difficult, like new, you know, we go through this really hard time, it's like it breaks us through into a new level where God can release new power, new anointing, new release of him in our lives. And then our focus is that his mercy, his goodness, they follow us all the days, every day, all the time. And that we're going to dwell. This is where we get to stop and live, in the house of the Lord, in his presence. If you invite someone into your house, that's like your intimate space, you know? Your decorating, your food, it's your area. And he says, not only can you come visit, but you can live right here. That's our focus. That's what helps us get through that he's beside of us and where we're going with him.